Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, and this is Nerd Nuptial episode 44. I'm the girl.
And I'm Tristan Riddell. This is an exciting time for all, because we are talking season finale of Westworld.
That's right.
I am super excited because we've talked about the show once or twice before.
Just once.
And we watched it last night, and we had the mic set up. And we were going to record, the moment that the episode was over. It's a little bit later for us. We usually podcast earlier in the day and then release. But this, we were going to stay up for this one. And then as soon as the episode was over, you turned to me and you're like, my head is killing me.
I think I just put so much energy into watching Westworld that, you know, like all my brain power was there. And so
it exhausted you.
It exhausted me. That's right.
It's like someone who says, that's why I don't do two shows a night.
That's right.
Well, it was really weird because you and I had this unspoken that, for instance, like when we go see a movie that we're going to podcast about,
mm-hmm.
we will watch the movie, credits will roll, we'll get up out of our seats, walk to the car, be in the car together, drive home. And we will not mention a single thing about the movie to each other because we save it for the mic.
Yeah.
There's so many times that we save things for the mic. And when we were finished with Westworld, and then you said that your head hurt too bad to continue on. I said, I was like, okay, fine, we'll just release it a day later. We went about our day. Like, we went about our night, got ready for bed, yep. and everything like that. Did not talk about it. Didn't even say that we weren't going to talk about it.
No, we didn't talk about it at all.
Like, even when we got up this morning, didn't talk about
nope.
it. Didn't talk Bernard, Ford, Dolores, no
Nothing.
One.
Nope.
Nothing. Which it's really interesting because when I went in this morning to work,
mm-hmm.
all of my friends, like, I get there first thing in the morning. And so I'm always the first one in the building. And then all of my friends who watch Westworld just descended upon me once they came in. And they were all in my workspace. And so we were all huddled together.
That's awesome.
It looked ridiculous because we were all trying to fit together in my little space. And people were walking by like, what is going on? We're like, Westworld wrap up.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it was a lot of fun. So I talked about it over coffee in the morning, and I talked about it at lunchtime. And I think I talked about it one more time. So I've had it out like with a lot of people.
Wow.
So
I'm like last pickings here.
You're behind.
Apparently.
You're the person I choose to talk with the most and first, but yet today the last.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I haven't talked to anyone about it.
No, yeah. No, no one came
no,
to you.
No,
at,
one.
At work?
No. They're not apparently cool and they don't watch Westworld, so yeah. And I also teach a bunch of high school students. So I'm like, I don't know if I want to talk to you about an HBO show.
Wasn't that orgy scene amazing, kids? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's a call from a parent right there. That's what that is. Or the police. Either one. Somebody's getting a phone call.
Yeah, I don't think I want to have that phone call.
No one wants to have that phone call except HBO HQ. So sorry guys, we're a day late. Many of you, I think too many of you, messaged me either privately or on Facebook or on Twitter saying, where is it? I was worried. What's going on? Where's my free entertainment?
So, it means they care.
It does. It does mean that they
That's
care.
Right.
So we appreciate you guys and we thank you so much for forgiving us for being a day late. But if you can, please go to iTunes, find Nerd Nuptial, and give us a review. If you give us a 5-star review, we'll mention you on the show. An easy way to do it is go to thenerdparty.com and then scroll down, click on the iTunes banner, and there you can find all of our new shows, all of our shows, period, on iTunes. And also we're, of course, wherever you listen to podcasts. We're on Google, we're on Stitcher, we're on TuneIn, we're all over the place. So everyone should go to thenerdparty.com and check out all of our other shows. We got plenty to choose from for all of your nerd delights. All right, so you just want to get down to it?
Sure.
Just start talking
spoilers,
about
spoilers, though.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I'm glad that you mentioned.
We're not gonna shy away from spoilers.
We never do spoiler free, and this would be a heck of a time trying to do a spoiler free
podcast
with a
finale
with a finale of a season of a show.
Yeah.
Like Westworld.
Right. And we also rewatched the entire show this past week.
We did. Yeah. It's after we watched episode 9, mm-hmm. which was one of the finest hours of television I've seen in a long time.
Mm-hmm. It was really good.
We decided, okay, well, and since we have a week before episode 10 comes out, the final episode of the first season, you know, we've got time. You know, let's just watch an episode a night. And I think one night we watched two.
Yeah.
And that's what we did. We rewatched season 1. So we have watched season 1 twice now.
That's right.
Even though it just finished airing, because that's how dedicated we are. That's right. We're more dedicated than you are. So, first reactions.
Of the finale?
Of the finale.
I really liked it. A lot. I felt like it kind of brought everything that we had hoped kind of to a close. And I felt like it really did a good job of kind of like summing up the season, but still leaving enough for us to kind of wonder what's going to happen next season.
I felt my knee-jerk reaction was that they almost gave away too much.
I did have that feeling a little bit. Like, where are we going to go from here?
Well, it wasn't so much where are we going to go from here, because I am super excited. Now that I've thought about it, that I've had time to think about it, I am super excited where season 2 is going to go.
Uh-huh.
But for some reason, I feel like it's a leftover from Lost. And because the last time a show was this kind of cerebral and made you question this many things was like Battlestar Galactica or Lost. And in Lost, since it was a JJ show as well, it very much was a victim of not answering enough questions,
mm-hmm.
and leaving you wanting too much more. Because there's always a benefit of you want your audience to want more, but Lost did that to the extreme where it pissed you off.
And yeah.
I feel like they might have overcorrected.
I could see that, especially since a lot of questions were answered. I mean, most questions were answered.
Yeah, I think a lot of questions were answered, and it was I tried to make a half-hearted analogy this morning with a friend of mine where I talked about how, you know, you spend so much time, you know, trying to woo a girl where you're just like, okay, you're like, no, like, let me take you out. It'll be really fun. Like, I'll show you a night on the town. And so you spend all that time like flirting and, you know, having a good time, and you feel like you have great chemistry. And then when you get there, you have the whole date and you're just kind of like, well, I guess that was okay. You know, like, that was
really,
yeah, it was, I feel like the problem is that the anticipation was built up so much during the season that once we had the last episode, it was executed so well, but I feel like they gave us so much that I now don't have anything to wait for. I'm not articulating it
no,
very well.
No, I understand that feeling. I get that. See, I kind of felt like satisfied.
I felt satisfied too.
I felt like, okay, well, even if I didn't get a season 2, I'm okay because I've got so many answers to the questions. I am not left so much hanging. Like, I was really worried, for example, that they would not answer the Man in Black question.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really happy that they did. And it was what we, you know, thought at the very beginning of the show, with that fan theory that it was going to be William.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of nice just to have that answered. And I think also, like, some of those parallels when we watched it a second time of going back and watching the finale, there were so many things that you're like, oh, that makes more sense now.
Yes.
And that was really nice. I feel like it was a lot of like audience satisfaction.
There was a lot of audience satisfaction. There was a lot of questions answered. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of like, this is what you were waiting for. But for some reason, I feel like as an audience member, I was given too much. I feel like there needed to be a little bit more mystery at the end to make you come back for more. Now, I'm going to come back for more, and I am excited for season 2, but I don't have any more wonder. It's just, oh, this is going to be the next stage. Like, we've finished one stage, And so next season is going to be a next chapter of The Uprising.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's going to be that storyline.
Well, we watched like an interview at the end with Jonathan Nolan, who said like season one is all about control and season two will be about chaos. And I thought that was really interesting.
Definitely felt like he was echoing his brother.
Felt a lot like, you know, the Dark Knight trilogy of, you know, talking about how each, you know, character kind of brings that element of either chaos or, you know, something.
Pain.
Yeah.
Know, fear, you know, things like that. Yeah, there's a theme to it.
Exactly. Yeah. I do understand what you're saying, though.
Okay.
I do. And I felt it. I don't think I was able to articulate it in the moment of, like, because I think I was just so satisfied that all those questions were answered. But I do understand where you're coming from that, okay, maybe too many. Like, maybe we should have left a little bit more mystery. Maybe the maze shouldn't have been solved.
Yes.
I think that was the part that bothered me, I think, the most, was, like, the maze part.
Okay, the maze. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
So, you didn't want that answered, or you didn't like the answer?
Probably a little bit of both.
Okay.
I think that it would have been a good thing to continue into season two.
Okay, I can see that. I can
because
see that.
Especially, like, I was okay with revealing the man in black, but maybe having his journey not just kind of come to an end in season one, because I felt like now we're done, right?
It was very abrupt, yeah.
Yeah, with the man in black, it's kind of like, okay, well, we get that. I mean, even, like, the flashback to, like, how William got to be who he was and, like, you know, how he treated Logan through the journey and everything like that.
Why is Logan naked? Why was he naked?
I don't know.
Okay, that's actually one question that where we were left hanging, where they're at the edge of the park. And so he put Logan on a horse. He's naked for no reason available
to
the audience.
But they had to have a little nudity.
Yeah, but that's the thing is they didn't even really show any nudity.
I know. I'm just messing with you.
Like, he was naked. He was clearly naked, but they didn't show anything that you couldn't show on network TV. And so I keep racking my brain as to figure it out.
That really bothered you, didn't it?
It did bother me. Because in one scene he's not naked, then in another he is. And they make it, the way that they cut it and the way that they, like, portrayed it, it made it sound like weeks went by. Like, where they were on, like, this epic journey. Like, they were trying to destroy the One Ring. Like, I don't know what was going on.
I felt like that was a little too fast, like, to recap. Like, I felt like it was, that's part of it that I felt like we probably could have continued into season two, is like a little bit more of that journey of how he got to be. I mean, I know we saw a taste of that where he, like, slaughtered all the soldiers, but I felt like it was almost like too fast that we kind of showed him searching for Dolores.
It was a quick turnaround.
It was.
But I just don't understand, like, what happened to Logan. Like, are we going to find out what happened to Logan? I guess though that's the small thing that maybe we'll find out soon. But are we going to see young William again? I guess I don't think we need to, right?
I don't even think that we need to necessarily see, you know, the man in black, the older William. Like, I don't think necessarily that we need to.
I think we're going to.
I think we are. And, you know, the one thing he really wanted was for Dolores to shoot him. To, like, succumb and, like, become her own person, meaning become more human, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Is that what it was?
I don't think that was his main motivation. I think he was just using Dolores because he knew that she was going to become sentient, or that she was sentient. And that's why he was utilizing Maeve as well. That's why he sought out Maeve.
Yeah.
Is because he... Actually, no. Well, Maeve is what made him realize that these things could be alive.
Mm-hmm.
And then they found it in Dolores. I think it's just he wanted a game where he could potentially die. And at the end of the episode, you see him with he just gets shot and he has a big smile on his face.
Yeah.
Because this is what he wanted. He wanted the chaos. And so I'm actually quite excited about the man in black because
I can see that
he's going to thrive in this environment.
Yeah. It's almost going to be like his Walking Dead post-apocalyptic, you know, like how certain characters really come alive in that, in that environment. I feel like it's going to be his, like, this is just like the ultimate game for him, the game that he was searching for.
Yeah, I think he inadvertently gets it. And, like, I think that's why it makes the maze okay for him, because that was a big loss for him.
True.
Realize, because they kept warning them. They kept saying the maze is not for you.
Right. And I liked that element of it, that it's true. It wasn't for him. Mm-hmm. It was for, you know, the hosts. So in that way, I liked it. But at the same time, I think that that was one element that could have been prolonged.
I feel you. I understand you. But at the same time, if this is where it was going to end up.
True.
I'm glad it was over.
True.
In season one. Because if we think about this, if we built that up for two seasons and then it ended that way.
True.
I think
that would have been a real problem.
I think that would have been a huge letdown. But I was talking with a friend of mine at work today, and I asked him about the maze. I was like, how do you feel about that? And he said, he's like, oh, I figured that's what it was. And I was like, really?
Really?
Like, you figured the maze was the route to consciousness? He's like, yeah. And I was like, I didn't think that at all.
I didn't either. I didn't know what it was going to be.
I thought it was going to be not so much a physical maze, but I thought it was going to be a metaphorical maze to an actual place. I thought it was going to be like a location in the park that was just for the host. Like maybe it was a safe haven or some place to a benchmark for them to physically reach that also allowed them to have a figurative benchmark as well.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know exactly what I want it to be.
But I'm fine with this.
I was okay with it. Yeah. I was.
It would like part of me was just kind of like, oh, that's it. Like it, you know, it goes out with a fizzle, not a bang. But I was like, all right, that's okay.
Well, I also kind of felt like, you know, not everything has to.
You're right.
So I was all right with it.
Yeah.
How did you feel about Dolores actually being Wyatt? And did you see that coming?
I didn't see it coming. I didn't realize it until they spelled it out for me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really care. Now, I don't mean that as a negative. Mm-hmm. I don't mean like, oh, that was a poor decision. I just went like, okay. Like, it wasn't like a big reveal to
right.
me because we have no connection with the Wyatt character
mm-hmm.
other than in flashbacks.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just kind of like, I was like, oh, okay. So, I mean, like, I think the reason why is because we saw so many images of her around these dead bodies and with a gun in her hand,
right?
That it wasn't that big of a shocker. I never really connected the dots.
I didn't connect it.
But it wasn't that big of a shock.
Yeah, I understand that.
But the one thing that I do pride myself in, and I guess I shouldn't pat myself on the back too hard, but was when they, the moment that they revealed that she was Wyatt, I was like, oh, Arnold's the general.
Mm-hmm.
Arnold's the one who sits down
in the
chair.
I saw that too. Yeah. I made that connection too. Because I was like, okay, the chair part was so unusual for the general to sit in the chair
mm-hmm.
that, yeah. And I also liked the idea of that, you know, that Shakespearean quote from Romeo and Juliet.
These
you know,
violent delights
lead to, you know, violent ends. Yeah. I liked the idea of that kind of continuing throughout.
One thing about that is, I guess with Bernard, not Bernard, with Arnold's death, what did you think about Ford's turn on perception, where he's not exactly the bad, well, no, he is a bad guy, because he killed people,
yeah,
but it wasn't him against Arnold. He was actually rooting for Arnold, but it took Arnold's death for him to figure this out.
Yeah, I thought that was an unusual turn.
What did you think about that?
I thought it was I don't know. I don't think I saw it coming necessarily, just mm-hmm. because they had built up this idea of Arnold versus Ford the entire time. But I thought it was interesting to see how he kind of turned things, especially at the end when he knows that everything's going to kind of come to an end, how he had kind of created this chaos ready to go.
What did you think about his final narrative?
Oh, I thought it was neat. I thought it was really cool. I thought it was that kind of like Truman Show moment
mm-hmm.
where, you know, especially like you're ending and they're frozen with, you know, Dolores on the beach
and
dying and Teddy holding her and, you know, everyone in, you know, this gala. I thought that was very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an interesting, it almost took you out of it for a second. Did it for you?
Out of it in what way? Because I think it was supposed to take you
well,
out of
I know it was, but it was kind of like it surprised me because we hadn't seen that side of the park before.
Mm-hmm. The spectatorship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is funny because Ed Harris was in Truman Show.
That's true. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. For me, I liked the turn. I liked the final narrative, and you might not believe me, but that is what I like. His final narrative of making all the releasing all the hosts and let them go crazy, I did think that that was going to be his final narrative.
Well, I think the fact that we kept seeing that room full of hosts, there had to be something that happened with them.
That's the really funny part, is because I talked to another person, they said the same thing. Like, the moment that they thought that maybe the hosts were going to go crazy, they're like, oh, that downstairs storage is going to be completely empty. I never saw that coming.
No?
I never thought, like, oh, we're like, those are the hosts, they're going to come out of the ground. The only thing that kept me going, and this was like many episodes ago, where I was like, okay, well, we're clearly not going to see Ford's final narrative or new narrative anytime soon. So that's going to be in the last episode. Well, what else is going to happen in the last episode? Mm-hmm. All the hosts are probably going to go crazy or have an uprising. And I was like, maybe that's his narrative. So maybe Ford is organizing all of this. And so that's where I came from. No, I wasn't like, oh, this is what's going to happen. It's just, I just kind of thought that that was going to happen. So with that in mind, what do you think about Ford organizing? What do you think Ford organized, and what do you think he didn't?
I think that he was behind all of it.
Every single thing.
I really do. I think that he was the one who changed the code for Maeve.
I believe that too.
I think that he even, like, the idea of her getting out, which I really enjoyed, by the way, of, you know, Hector and... I can't remember the other girl's name.
Snake Girl.
The Snake Girl. I really liked that. That, like,
that was a really cool.
It was really cool of them getting out and seeing another floor that was the Samurai floor.
Samurai World.
Yeah, World.
That was probably, like, my favorite part of the episode.
That's cool. Yeah. That's really cool. Yeah, I just thought it was awesome just to see that, like, that working together to get out, and just how they were so ruthless and, you know, that was the only goal.
They were crazy ruthless.
Yeah.
And it got to the point, like, at first I was wondering, you know, like, should I be rooting for them? You know, like,
yeah,
are they, you know, like, is it being too violent? Because they are killing people. You know, these are quote unquote innocent people.
Right.
But then at the same time, you look at it from Ford's perspective, his new perspective, or at least we consider it a new perspective, where the humans are aren't the innocent party. Like, humans are disgusting and evil, and hosts are pure.
Right.
And it's just what we've been doing to the hosts. So the hosts deserve their revenge. And so you kind of flip flop back and forth. And I also love that moment where they get the machine guns for the first time, and they just look at each other, because these people are from the West.
Right.
I mean, they have, you know, pump action rifles and, you know, and revolvers, and you give them a machine gun, and the Snake Girl is just like, oh!
Yeah,
like,
that was awesome.
Made that noise.
That was
perfect.
Awesome. Yeah, I loved that part. I think, honestly, I really think that it was all part of his narrative.
I think so, too, especially about Maeve. Like, when, you know, when Bernard showed us, he said, he's like, oh, yeah, it even has your escape, your recruit. And then it's...
And that was surprising to me.
Yes, that was surprising to me, too.
Because, you know, each time we meet, you know, we see Maeve, it's like she learns more and more about her existence. And the fact that Ford would even, you know, we assume Ford would be behind her thought of even escaping, or, you know, becoming more, you know, intelligent and trying to get out, is just really interesting. It's almost like he had it from two different angles. He's got Maeve trying to get out, like, out into the real world, like, creating chaos on the outside. And then he's got the other plan of, I'm going to release all these other hosts that have been, you know, in cold storage.
Yeah. I think, here's what I think. I could be wrong. I think Ford wanted her to leave. I think Ford wanted her to get out into the world. But the moment that she decided to stay is when she became her own person.
I think so, too.
And she broke free of Ford. But I think Ford knew that was a possibility as well, where it was kind of a win-win scenario, where if she gets out into the world, then she'll experience the world, maybe establish sentience that way, or become an outside ally to the hosts or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or she goes against her programming that I put down, but she's still sentient because she thought for herself and stayed.
Right. It's true.
So either way you look at it, he's the one pulling the strings.
Yeah. And I also think that he intended for Dolores to kill him.
I want to talk about that. Let's talk about that.
Okay.
Okay. I don't like that Dolores killed Ford.
Why?
I do not think that character is such a narcissist and is so in love with himself. I don't care what turn of phrase he has for the last episode where all of a sudden he becomes the man fighting for the rights of the hosts. Mm-hmm. That's all well and good. That's fine. I get it. But he still has a supreme God complex, if not even more so now that we know that he is fighting for his creations. And so I do not think that he would allow himself to be killed. I think he would want to stick around and find out what happened or see where his string pulling would go. But the killing reeks of, we only got Anthony Hopkins for one season.
I did feel that. I will give you that. How I was able to justify it was, he's on his way out anyway. They're kicking him out. Mm-hmm. And this is his whole world, and it has been for years. And a narcissist would go out that way, like making a speech and having a host, like showing basically his narrative, showing it off.
Okay.
So I was able to justify it by, like, he's showing off in his death.
So you see it as, if he's going to get kicked out, mm-hmm, of the world that he created,
yes,
he's going to go out in style.
Exactly.
And he's like, when he dies, he's going to know that so many other people in the crowd are going to go with him.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess I can see it.
That's how I saw it.
I can see it that way.
Now, yeah, I totally got the impression, yeah, Anthony Hopkins is only here for season one, and that's why this is happening. But at the same time, I felt like it was a good ending for that character if he's going to die.
I don't know. Part of me wanted him to fade away. Part of me wanted him to leave the park.
Then you'd be constantly wondering when he came back.
No. No.
No, I disagree.
I'd
be constantly like, where's Anthony Hopkins?
I would be fine. I'd be fine with never seeing Anthony Hopkins again because I love the idea of... if you want to go towards the God complex, this would totally be it. Like, there is a deism, you know, the idea of deism is a religious concept where God does not intervene with his creations.
Mm-hmm.
If the world is a clock, God winds the clock and lets it run.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the idea of Anthony Hopkins in his God complex winding that watch of upheaval and an uprising and then walking away and not even looking at the watch, you know, click ticking through time. Just saying, like, here you go, have fun, and then he's out.
I think in theory that's interesting, but he'd have to answer for it. So if he's dead, he doesn't have to answer for it, and no one is there to fix it.
But who does he have to answer to? The world is self-contained, and it's shut down. It's cut off. So people will not know what is going on in Westworld.
I don't know. I disagree. I like that idea that you're saying, but I feel like he had to die.
I guess we're just going to disagree on this one because I don't think he had to die.
No, I think he did.
But you have sound reasoning. You have sound reasoning with that. You made me look at that a little bit differently. Not enough to agree with you, but you made me look at it differently.
Well, your idea is cool, but it didn't make me agree with you either.
Okay, so Samurai World.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is really cool for multiple reasons, because in the movie, they established right away that there were different worlds. Mm-hmm. There was Roman World and Medieval World and Westworld. I think it was just those three. So I think it's really cool that the world that they showed us was not Medieval World or Roman World. It was something new, something we, like, the audience had never seen before in any iteration.
Yeah.
And I love that it was something that didn't take place in America,
mm-hmm,
and it didn't even take place in the Western Hemisphere.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really cool. And so it makes you wonder, how many other are there? How many parks are there?
But I don't want to see any more of it.
No?
No, I don't, because I think it'll get cluttered. I think it'll get too busy. I think we need to deal just with Westworld.
Yes, I agree with dealing with just Westworld. but I would love to see some crossover here and there.
Really?
Like, it doesn't even have to be characters. Like, we don't have to have storylines in Samurai World or another world. It doesn't have to be like, oh, this is this is Hoshi from Samurai World or anything like that. Like, it doesn't have to be something like that. I would like the idea of the hosts exploring the outside of their park, and maybe we get another reference to another world. It doesn't even have to be the focus of the story. It's just like, oh, holy crap. You know, like there is a, I don't know, like
whatever world. Yeah.
You know, yeah. Whatever world or something like
See,
that.
See,
here's the thing though. Maeve pulls out that slip of paper of where her daughter is. And yeah. It says park one section, whatever.
Right.
Block something.
Mm-hmm.
So is park one Westworld?
We don't know.
It could be something else. So Maeve's storyline might take her to outside of Westworld, but within the park.
I think I'd be okay with that if it was just Maeve.
Okay.
But I don't want to see like a bunch of samurais fighting with all of the Western.
I see that.
You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you mean. Like Maeve, that could be cool. Like where keep Westworld within Westworld, but Maeve could go into a different park. Yeah. That could be really interesting.
Well, I even enjoy, like, I kept wondering if all of the cold storage hosts were going to help Maeve get out when she, you know, talked about, you know, having an uprising and, like, mm-hmm. finding people and, you know, a part of to help her escape. But I was glad that we only had those two help her.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, ooh, it's nice. It's like a heist. You know,
it's tight.
It's tight. It's, yeah. You know, you care about the outcome of these people. Whereas if we had just like a bunch of hosts, it would have become very, like, we wouldn't care.
Yeah, it would have been a horde.
Yeah.
It would have been messy.
Exactly.
And I think they did it just right because it was at the very, very end, mm-hmm. just at the tree line.
Yeah, and you saw Clementine.
Okay, here's the thing. All of those people, all of those retired hosts, okay. they're lobotomized.
Yeah, so that confused me. Okay, that was a question I had, was how are they operating?
So are they just zombies? Like is season two just going to be like a few sentient hosts and then the rest of their zombie horde? That's going to be weird.
I don't like that idea.
I don't like it either.
My other question was, how did they get the guns that actually work on the hosts?
Okay. Here's something that we need to talk about, because this is bugging the crap out of me.
Okay.
The guns are so nebulous, so the rules are so weird,
right?
That they never establish them wholeheartedly. And this is something, like, I am not one of those people that needs everything spoon-fed to them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to give you a lot of leeway if you establish a rule and then follow it. That's fine. Even if you leave something nebulous, I get it. It's sci-fi. It's the future. You know, like, I don't need to know exactly how you make the host. I don't need to know exactly, well, is it bone? Is it some sort of bone, you know, carbonite? You know, like I don't need right. to know that stuff. Mm-hmm. That's fine. You have the technology to make a host, and so you make a host. I don't need to know
right.
the details. But with the gun, because the guns are a plot point, and a very serious plot point,
mm-hmm.
tell me how it works, establish those rules, and then break them if you have to, but give a reason why you break them. Because with the guns, all they said was, you can't kill a host. I mean, you can't kill a real person. You can only hurt a host. Okay, but how? And is it, like, the hosts, like, they can't pull the trigger at a real person. So we established that.
Right.
But what about all these gun battles? What about, you know, friendly fire? What about
right.
person-on-person violence? Is that still possible?
Well, yeah, and that was my question, too, is because especially when, like, William and Logan were kind of going at it, you know, the question was, well, could they technically kill each other?
Yeah, and also, like, what's... If you were in a battle, say that a real person's on, on the north,
mm-hmm.
and you're on the south, and you're shooting at each other.
You're shooting at other hosts, and it like, friendly fire, like you said.
Yeah, you're shooting at other hosts, and you're shooting at real people.
Yeah.
So what's stopping you from, if these guns can actually hurt people, you know, like, what's right. the deal? But then, again, we see the hosts shooting guns,
mm-hmm.
and, like, when they shoot at the man in black, it all kind of, like, was, like, puffs of smoke on him, except at the very end, when Teddy comes and shoot him, and it felt like it was actually pushing him back.
Right.
So they kind of fudged the rules there.
Yeah, and... You know, the first time William gets shot, you know, it was like this, it knocked him down.
Mm-hmm.
You almost feel like it's like maybe like a paintball kind yeah. of situation where it hurts, but it doesn't actually you know, maybe you get like a bruise.
Right, you get like a welt or something like that. But the thing is, so what is it? Like, what changes? Does the physical gun change? Does their ability change? Do the bullets change? We have no idea.
No, we don't.
It's just different now, and it was never explained. And it bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not enough to ruin the story for me, but it's something that I think it needs to be explained.
Well, I don't think that they stuck to whatever they were trying to go to. I feel like they kind of were all over the place with that.
Yeah, I feel like they didn't have an answer.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're just like, they'll eat it up. It's fine. It's fine.
Well, and knives are allowed and punching is allowed. Mm-hmm. And obviously they're able to hurt, you know, each other with that way.
Right.
So I don't know. That bothered me too.
Yeah. All right. Well, Let's see. What else is there to cover? I mean, there was my really only. Well, I have one thing that kind of bothered me at the beginning was it started getting a little explainy.
This episode especially.
Yeah, because you never really saw that too terribly much before.
I feel like they didn't explain enough throughout, and then they were kind of making up for it in this episode.
Yeah, the exposition was to a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even the narration was pretty low. I mean, it was in acceptable levels. But then once we get to the last episode, it was very much that victim of, oh, we only have so much time. We got to wrap up. It's the season finale.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's Ford telling you everything that you need to know.
Yeah.
Here's the Man in Black telling you everything that you need to know. Here's a voiceover. Here's narration. And so I understood it because it's the season finale.
Right.
But at the same time, I was like, come on, guys.
Yeah, I felt that too. I definitely did. I really liked the city covered in sand idea.
Me too.
You know, and I liked the idea of the confessional being kind of that transportation device between.
I loved everything about the church.
That.
I love that they heard voices.
Mm-hmm.
And so they went to the church.
Yes.
For sanctuary. And
yeah.
It was kind of, it's a play on, you know, hearing God,
mm-hmm.
hearing voices. And you know that old saying I love to repeat is, if you speak to God, it's prayer. But if God speaks to you, it's schizophrenia. And it's, I think this was a perfect example of that.
Mm-hmm.
And also to double down, like when Dolores went downstairs and Ford was talking about the Michelangelo painting.
Mm.
I loved everything about that.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this is what real sci-fi is about.
Yeah.
It's not just about, you know, like laser battles or space battles or things like that. It's asking the question of what is humanity?
Right.
What is morality? What is God?
Right.
And the show did all of those.
Oh, yeah. I completely agree. And I loved, you know, this her idea of trying to wrap her head around all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, she comes to that conclusion like, okay, I know what my purpose is. And I think that she's a very cool character, Dolores.
There was some parts early on where I was like, Dolores is really cool. Then she got really boring where I was just kind of like, okay, this is, you're on a journey. This is boring.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get back to Maeve. Let's get back to Bernard. But then her storyline started picking up steam again towards
mm-hmm.
the end.
And I think that, you know, she'll be obviously a key player in the next season and, you know, much more of like a stronger character. Like it, it's like she had to get there
right
throughout the series, the season. Yeah.
One thing, like I know that I was a little nitpicky on the explainy exposition thing at the beginning, but one thing that I think is an absolute failing besides the gun thing, total failing that they needed to spend extra time on. And that is Felix motivation for helping out Maeve the way that he did.
Yes.
Like, I understand, like, the common theory, and which is a solid theory, it's totally what happened, but we needed more, was he wanted to prove himself,
mm-hmm.
he felt bad for Maeve, and then he kind of tumbled down the rabbit hole and got in too deep, and he didn't know how to get back out of it. But there were several times when he could back out. There were several times when he could wash the slate clean
mm-hmm.
and move away. And at the end, He is watching his coworkers get murdered.
Yeah.
And he's just moving on.
He is. And even his like last interaction with Maeve, it's like, okay, you know what? Like, you should still be afraid. And I almost was like, okay, good luck.
Yeah. And what is, in the elevator when he says he's like, good luck, you
yeah.
know, like, have fun. What's he going to do? What's his end game?
I don't know.
What's he going to do? Is he just going to turn around and go back to work? Like,
I was
going to
say, I think he's on the security cameras. I think that he'll
like, and he also doesn't know that everything's going to hell in a handbasket. Like, he doesn't know that the park is shutting down. He doesn't know that there's an uprising. He just thinks Maeve is getting away with something. And so what does he think is he's going to do? Does he
what's his end game? Like, what is he trying to achieve, I guess?
I don't know. If it's pure compassion, why doesn't he go with Maeve? Why doesn't he exit with
her? Is he, like, in love with Maeve? Is he just, you know, trying to see what's best for her?
Well, I wasn't even thinking about that. I'm just thinking about, like, this guy. There needs to be some sign of self-preservation with Felix.
Right.
There needs to be some semblance of worry of his future.
I don't think he's working there anymore.
Yeah.
And the fact that he thinks he is, it's delusional.
So it is so, it's so confusing. Like, yeah. We needed to, like, I read an article today on the Westworld and what it would look like if it was like a 22 episode season on a network television station. And they said, like, once it said, like, the benefit would be that we would get much more fleshed out characters. Like, we would get more characters who weren't just enemies or lovers. Like, we would get some entangled relationships that were a little bit more complex. I don't know if I agree with that too terribly much, because I feel like we did get some complex relationships. I think we got some
complex relationships.
But they could have been fleshed out even more, like with Felix.
Yeah.
But
do I need that? I don't know.
I do. I just went off on a tirade about that.
I know I need some more motivation, but I don't necessarily need to know.
No.
Like a backstory and more of a relationship.
No, I don't agree with that at all. But one other thing that they said was, like, yeah, you would get some more fleshed out stuff like that. But at the same time, you would get a whole lot more nonsense and unnecessary episodes.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think this is the perfect length.
I do too.
Of season. It's just funny because, you know, we've gone from like 24 to like 15 or 13. And now I'm like, I'm good with 10.
Stranger Things and True Detective were 8.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're like, okay.
Okay, I'm good.
If it's good for the story.
I think that you have to go with what's good for the story.
And I like that we're living in this world where the station and the showrunners, the filmmakers and everything like that, whatever, they can say, like, oh, this is an 8-episode season, or this is a 10-episode season. This is 13. This is 16. I like they can figure that out.
Yeah.
And determine what is right. It's no longer 24 episode order. That's the only way that we can make it viable for advertising revenue. We don't have to worry about that anymore.
Right. I love it. I really do.
I do too. All right. Well, before we go, let's talk about season 2. What do you think is going to happen?
I think that all of those guests at the gala are going to become prisoners.
Okay.
And I think that all the sentient hosts are going to become like the gods of the park and kind of like rule. I really do.
Rule with an iron fist, you think?
Well, I think in regards to the humans, yeah. I think it's going to be like, let's see how you feel kind of situation.
I think there's going to be more struggle.
Yeah?
I think that the humans are going to be able to mount a sizable resistance. I feel like we're going to deal with a separated park.
I think this is your side.
I think so. I think there's going to be battle lines. I think there's going to be there's going to be factions. I think there are going to be humans that relate to what's going on with the hosts. I think there's going to be hosts that don't want to completely murder or disregard the humans. And I feel like we're going to see two governments rival each other for the same space. And I think we're going to see that for a little bit longer than just robots take over.
No, I think you're onto something there. I think the idea of, you know, maybe like, you know, I don't know, like one host is in charge, like almost like trying to work with the humans. And then you could have like some that are, you know, you're going to have, you know, a piece of your own medicine. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to have, like you said, different factions of different sides that the hosts are taking, as well as the humans.
So I think that's really cool that you said that, like, there's not going to be there might not be a united front on the host. Because
I don't think so.
Like if there was, who would be the leader? Who would be the ruler? Dolores? You know, it's not going to be Teddy. You know, like, is it, you know, like, where's that going to be? And so it would be interesting to see all these separate factions saying, like, this is what we should do. No, this is what we should do. Mm-hmm. No, we need to be together, you know, like, and everything like
right.
that.
Right. I think that it's going to be almost, and I think it'll probably end in some type of war scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Old West war kind of scenario.
Showdown at the eight.
Yeah.
OK Corral.
That's right.
That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that is our episode. Thank you so much for listening. Please let us know what you guys think of Westworld.
Yeah.
What did you think of the season finale? Did you like the show? Did you not like the show? Was it overrated? Did they answer too many questions? Did they not answer enough? Please go to thenerdparty.com/contact and let us know. Or you can let us know on Facebook. Or you can find me on Twitter at @TheInsaneRobin. Or you can find out the show page on Twitter at @JoinNerdParty. We thank you so much for doing all that you do for the network. One other thing that you can do is go to lootcrate.com/nerdparty. From there, you can subscribe to a fantastic Geekbox subscription service. They've got Funko Pops, action figures, comic books, anything that you could think of nerd-wise. And some of this is exclusive stuff that you can only get through Loot Crate. You get $40 worth of merchandise for less than $20. Go to lootcrate.com/nerdparty. Enter in code nerdparty at checkout. You'll save even more money off of that. All right, well, I have no idea what we're going to talk about next week, but I am thoroughly excited because I love you.
I know.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.